This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello and welcome to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite, and today I'll be putting the questions you sent to us to accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Today I've gone full Otis from the TV show Sex Education in that I haven't taken listener questions. I've taken questions from people who listen to the podcast, but I haven't messaged in. They've just told me about it, and I said, shush, stop talking, write these down and I'll give them to mum personally. So are you excited about that? You're holding the penguin aloft at the moment, I can see.
The penguin's excited.
So is the penguin going to adjudicate on these?
Oh, if you like, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I should have got the penguin to adjudicate on the sexting episode we did, shouldn't I? I should have said, does the penguin like sexting or not? Can we ask him now?
Oh, he's disturbed now. He's wiggling around. Oh, dear. He's quite annoyed about being asked that. So he's jumping on the desk.
Really?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did hear that. Has he told you anything?
Oh, hang on a minute.
Mum's just put the penguin up to her ear. Its beak is firmly placed inside.
Oh, no, I can't repeat that. I'm sorry.
Wow, really? Rude penguin.
Mm.
Bad penguin.
Mm.
Well, I think that's a bit rich, coming from someone that's always nude. Any picture that guy's...
Well, he's your penguin, so, you know, blame yourself. Mm. You've not brought him up properly.
Yeah, and who brought me up?
Your dad.
Let's get on with the questions then. Our first question is this. Strap in. It's quite a long one. Actually, I might have to make it a bit bigger for me to read.
Oh, God, because... you're going to read it verbatim as well?
Yeah, I have to. Oh, I have to, God. Because otherwise I miss out key ingredients.
Key ingredients, yeah.
Okay. My boyfriend and I have been together since May. We were sleeping together January to May, and I caught feelings, told him, and have initiated every relationshipy conversation so far, because usually I believe that when you feel, you should say. He got out of a relationship a month or so before we started sleeping together. He's told me he felt a little rushed by how we started it, but is really happy I wouldn't change it. I'm in love with him. I feel safe like I haven't before, which is lovely. Doesn't hurt that it's the best sex I've ever had too. And I don't want to rush him. It means a lot to me that he moves us into love. I want him to take the reins and drive it at his pace. I want to know he's invested like I am, but also feel comfortable with it. It's just taking him a while. I've known since June/July. I don't want to say it first, but it's becoming a bit of a thing for me. I'm 99% sure he loves me because his actions are incredibly kind and sweet. And anyone I've asked for advice says he's just scared. But so was I when I initiated all the past conversations. I just want him to have some moxie. Knowing him, I wouldn't be surprised if he just didn't think it needed to be said. Should I take him by his words and not his loving actions and just suck it up and accept he's not there yet? Any tips for loving someone who you're unsure loves you? Feels a little embarrassing.
Wow.
Wow.
Gosh. You don't want much, do you? Really?
Yeah.
I just want this and I just want... The thing is, you've already said his actions are loving. He may well be the kind of person that doesn't think that saying I love you is necessary. Or it may be he is not there yet and that pushing him to be there will make him not get there ever. You know, you're the kind of person who thinks if I have a feeling, I should say it. But he may not be that kind of person. He might want to think about it a bit longer. Or maybe he's not feeling that. I mean, he may be feeling affection, but not love. And it's very early to start saying I'm deeply in love, isn't it? I mean, you're at the moment...
You've added the word deeply there.
What?
You've added the word deeply there. She, you know, it's very early to say. Well, she, well, I don't know if she
did
said.
Did I say deeply in love?
You did, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it's very early to say you're in love. Because at the moment, apart from anything else, you're full of hormones. So the first 2 or 3 years,
Wow, 2 or 3 years.
Well, it depends. Until you commit, you're full of hormones. Because what nature's trying to do is make you bond and beget. So it wants you to have babies. So it wants you to want to have sex, to like the other person and to make babies. So any kind of commitment you make, like getting engaged, moving in together, getting pregnant, making declarations, in fact, even saying I love you can make the hormones switch off, at which point you're bound to be a bit disappointed because the hormones blind you to the other person's disadvantages.
Okay.
So we're really talking about a crush until you've gone beyond the hormones, I would say.
Is this not the honeymoon period?
This is indeed the honeymoon period, yes.
And what you're saying there is that this person, they might feel they're in love with the other person, but you're saying they need to wait until 2 to 3 years into this thing before they're absolutely sure.
Well, so saying I love you might do it, but making it a proper full-on declaration where you both go, yeah, we're now going steady and all that, that's increasing the commitment. So at that point, the hormones might switch off, but they might not. So it might need a bit more than that. But by 2 or 3 years, they've switched off anyway.
I'm trying to get into the mind of the guy here because like she says, they do lots of loving things. They are exclusive. They are boyfriend and girlfriend. I wonder whether he feels all these things. But yeah, he's just... The problem is once you say them, you sort of feel like you can't change your mind. I wonder whether he feels trapped by that. And he might feel these things, but he doesn't want to say something that he later regrets. And he probably won't. He's really enjoying it in the moment, but he's just sort of like, well, what if I do hurt you down the line? If I say, yes, I love you now, or I move it forward now. He doesn't want to upset you, basically. And the problem is that is a lack of moxie, which is the word that they used.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you think about it, once you've said to somebody, I love you, then they can start fantasizing, and the next thing, they might have you up the aisle, you know. So you have to be careful about what your expectations are and what you're hoping to convey when you tell someone you love them, because it's a bit of an arbitrary thing to say anyway. What is it, you know? How do you know? You feel all loved up, but that's the hormones. And there might be a very, very, very strong attraction, and you know, and that might be genuine and last forever. But on the other hand, it might not. So, you know, she's already showing a lot of dissatisfaction with this fella because he's not, you know, taking the reins things. So I'm wondering if she's making little hints or complaining, and that you know, that might make him think, oh, I'm not sure about this. I mean, why she doesn't just ask him, I don't know.
Because she's constantly been asking him, you know, she's had all the relationship conversations. She's the one that's been pushing it. I think she now wants it to be like, right, actually, I want it from the other side.
Well, I think she's got her answer then, hasn't she?
But the answer is he doesn't love her. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the answer is he doesn't want to make a commitment at the moment. He might want to hang on to the hormones a bit longer.
We're all
different as well. I mean, you know, she's reached a stage in the relationship where she's trying to turn this boyfriend into her ideal boyfriend, and he's not her ideal boyfriend. He's a real person. He's not a cardboard cutout. Hang on, did you say that this was one of your friends?
Yes.
Oh.
You should answer it properly, though. You should answer it properly.
Oh.
This is someone I know. Yeah. But I've been known to be wrong.
I've been wrong.
Yeah, exactly. No, but
it was the penguin.
It was the penguin that did it. The penguin said it. He said all that. So he does speak.
Yeah.
He does speak to people other than you. No, I think maybe that's fine. I sort of wonder whether, you know, is this a classic case of you can't change someone, they can only change themselves? I mean, you can drop these hints and all that sort of stuff, but at the end of the day, like you say, all his actions are loving. Just, yeah, I guess go at their pace. You want them to say it. You're pretty sure they might think it, but they. I mean, maybe eventually they'll crack. But then maybe this is just part of their person.
Crack. You know, well, that's not the language, is it?
No, it's exactly. I don't know. Maybe eventually they will say something like this, or maybe you need to be like.
I'll be honest. What a lot of my clients say is that somebody has said "I love you" to them, and they've heard "I'm in love with you."
Right, and what's
which
the
is
difference?
Different?
What's the difference?
Well, in love is a romantic sexual attraction, isn't it? Whereas I love you is I really appreciate you. I would be, you know, I don't want to lose you. You're very important to me. You're a great friend. You really support me. You know,
I visit you in the hospital.
I love your tandoori dishes. I'm, you know, whatever. Yeah.
You're thinking about someone specific there.
I wasn't actually, but.
Oh, right.
You know.
Yeah,
I was just thinking about food as usual.
I mean, maybe this is you looking for something in someone that isn't the case with them, and they're not going to do it.
So I love my mum. I love my dog. I love chocolate.
I love tandoori dishes.
Yeah, exactly. They're all different. There are lots of different kinds of love. And that love may not be there yet. I mean, because proper romantic love sort of allows for difference. It allows for disappointment. It allows for ruptures in the relationship. It is able to weather difficult times. It's, you know, there's more to it than excitement. The excitement is great, but that's more early relationship energy, honeymoon stuff.
Well, there's something interesting you said about the honeymoon and the fact that it, you know, it's nature's way of trying to get you guys together and stable so that you'll have a baby. What about gay couples? You know, the end goal there isn't to have a baby. So what's nature playing at?
Well, it might be actually. You know, you can't know that.
Why not?
It might be, but it's to bond. Some of the evolutionary psychology suggests that it is about, you know, creating family units.
Right.
That are stable, so that because the reason we're sort of monogamous as humans is about child rearing. So that biological impulse is still there to bond with somebody. But if you notice, you may find, you know, and don't come for me with this, but I would say more gay couples are comfortable with non-monogamies than straight couples, to be honest.
Yeah, I think
officially,
that's...
although in real life, loads of straight, so many straight couples have affairs that, you know, they just do it secretly. I'm not even sure any of it's true.
Because where do you stand on this? Because I see a lot of stuff about the fact that we're not meant to be monogamous as a species. There's books and stuff about early humans and how they weren't. And I don't know.
Well, late humans aren't.
But I've also seen other people suggest that we are meant to be monogamous for the reasons that you said, you know, maybe like creating these family units, child rearing, also jealousy being a thing that was around way before monogamy was around.
But that's also to keep couples together. That's the function of jealousy as well.
But that's what I mean though. So then how can you sit there and then also say, oh yeah, but we're not a monogamous species?
Because it's only a high, well, because this is the theory. The reality is we're not. We have serial monogamy, maybe. So, which is not like animals. Animals often mate for life. They don't then go and look for another one. They quite often mate for life. We're different because we still appreciate other people. You don't switch off your interest in sex with other people when you're with a partner. You may choose not to have sex with other people, but you still find them attractive. That doesn't switch off. So if the opportunity is there and you choose to have sex with somebody else or to have a, you know, some sort of friendship with somebody else, that's going to happen. That does happen. Some people choose not to do that and have rules in their relationship about that. But a lot of people choose to do that. This isn't about there being a right or wrong way to be. You know, there is some biological stuff, but on the whole, we're quite sophisticated. We have very sophisticated brains, and we can deal with a whole lot more than that. And we can deal with complex thinking and ideas and rules and behaviors. And some people choose to be monogamous, but most don't. There are very, very, very few people who meet somebody and never, ever, ever are attracted to anybody else or stay with the same person for their whole lives. It's very rare.
Yeah, and I like that. I like that because I think sometimes people will say things like, oh, you know, it's similar with other stuff where they're like, oh, yeah, well we're humans. We're meant to eat meat, or, you know, we've been eating meat since the Dark Ages, and it's like part of our makeup to do so. And you sort of think, well, yeah, I mean, we used to also live in caves and shit in the woods. Do you still want to do that? Like, we are beyond the point where we need to be bound by what might be our human nature, which I don't even know it necessarily is. Like you say, yes, we might have had all these things to make us monogamous, but actually in practice later down the line, we're not.
So the Industrial Revolution was what made some monogamy a really, really big thing, because at that point you didn't want people to be nomadic and wandering off all over the place. You wanted them to stay put and work in factories. And you know, you might have wanted them to work the land before that, but that gave you a bit more leeway. But now you're wanting people to stay put and stay in their family units, to have responsibilities like children that would make people stay put. So there are really good economic reasons for us being organised into families, which are nothing to do with biology, really.
Yeah, yeah. And do you think that's been a conscious decision by like lawmakers and stuff to keep us that way?
Well, it applies to the church as well, because the church was responsible for giving alms to people. So if you're abandoned as a mother with children, or if the children are abandoned, it tended to be the church that would pick up the slack. So if you tell people they have to be organised into families because that's what God wants, and I hope I'm not offending anyone here, but if you push that message, then there's more chance of, again, people staying in families, not needing to depend on the church or the state. And, you know, not wandering off and pinching some sheep and going and starting a farm somewhere else, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what people did. My history's not good enough.
Yeah.
But you get the idea.
I mean, wow, have we got on a tangent here? I feel for this person. Basically, long story short, do you think they just need to, unfortunately, you know, you can drop some hints if you want to, but I think you need to maybe just be happy with how things are.
I would say chill and enjoy it. If you're having a lovely relationship where someone's being nice to you, just enjoy it. Don't worry about the future for now. Just go with the flow.
That's actually, do you know what? That is a really good piece of advice, because it's like, you know what? If this is the problem, you know, like that you're pretty sure they do love you, but you're 99% sure they love you, but they just haven't said it yet. That's nice. And like you said, if this stuff that Mum has said is true, delay that as long as you can, because as soon as he says he loves you, all the fun's gone. It's all sucked out.
Not necessarily.
I'm being facetious.
But you know, I mean, what I would also advise is that if you've got an idea in your head about what will prove that somebody loves you, whether it's they say they love you or they buy you a bunch of flowers or they do something, that's always really, really dangerous, because it's your idea in your head of what will prove it. And anyone can say I love you and not mean it. Anyone can buy you a bunch of flowers and just to keep you quiet. So don't go with the things in your head. Look at the person and look at what they do and what they choose to do, and you'll find your answer there.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Our next question is this one. My husband and I got an alert that our son was looking up porn on his phone. His father spoke to him about it and assured him that he wasn't in trouble, but we just wanted to know why he was doing this. He said he was just intrigued to what it was. I've told him about things before, like blowjobs and fingering, when they've come up, and I've just been matter-of-fact about it and tried to create an open dialogue in that way. It was very shocking and the stuff was quite graphic. I'm not sure what to do.
Well, it sounds like they're doing it. I mean, when you ask somebody why they're looking up porn on their phone, you know, it's pretty obvious why. You know, lots of people are going to be curious about that. The conversation possibly doesn't want to be, why are you doing it? But are you aware of what you're doing? You know, do you understand some of the stuff that you'll see on porn is not what people really do in real life? This is not loving sex. Some of this may well be very violent. I mean, if you go back to, which we probably don't want to my day, it was more like erotica. I mean, it was very, very dull compared with what you're seeing now. I mean, now there's much more chance of violence and misogyny, that sort of thing, which parents may be more concerned about than the sort of sex per se. That's the kind of conversation that you really want to be having. This, rather than talking about technique and the sexual content, talk about the violent content and the kinds of things that they're watching so that they understand that this may not reflect real life.
Yeah, that's the way to do it, I guess, because, yeah, it might be that, you know, you hear these things from school, because I remember when I was at secondary school and these things just filtered through, you know, this isn't atypical, basically. So maybe there is a world in which this kid is a bit like, what are they talking about? Like, what is this stuff that they're mentioning? And maybe I will look it up. But they know, you know, because of what's been created around this mystique around it all, that it is shameful, it's, you're not supposed to do it, that sort of stuff. This, I think, just comes back to that wider problem of, you know, parents are being forced into these conversations, which, you know, is maybe fine. But wouldn't it be better if teachers, someone who is a bit more removed from this, could teach these kids about it early doors? Because kids are getting their sex education, unfortunately, chiefly from porn. We've talked about this before, how guys think that it should be like going at 1,000 miles an hour, and girls think that they should be making all this noise and having, like you mentioned about some of the violent acts and stuff. And it comes back to that chicken and the egg thing. I mean, I stopped watching porn years ago because I was like, well, hang on a minute. Are some of these things that I'm enjoying now, would I have been into them if I'd never seen them in porn? So if you can get that across to your kid, that would be great. So when they do see these things, so they'll probably see them again, they have that context in mind. And you're going to be a very smart kid if this is the case. But if you're armed with those tools to know that this isn't normal sex.
Everyday sex.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's not everyday sex. But it's just a shame that we don't have schools doing this them early.
Some schools do, but, you know, kids are getting access so young in primary school.
Well, exactly. And that's the thing about doing it early. People are like, oh, we can't possibly tell kids at primary school about this. Well, guess what? They're going to secondary schools and they're learning it all through porn anyway. You know, it's either we get in there earlier or it's too late by the time you get to them. And they just go, oh, yeah, but it's class. I've watched loads of it already. Oh, like sex ed, no point in taking any notice. I already know about all this.
Well, yeah, you know, one of the things, when you say to kids, you're not in trouble, but why are you doing this? I guess they're going to feel like they are. I mean, I think if all your friends are doing it, why wouldn't you be doing it? So maybe, you know, children need to have conversations about what they might see. If you see anything that seems odd to you, come and talk to us about it. If you're shown anything on a screen that doesn't, especially people with no clothes on.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Because it's not just, I mean, as parents, I'm not just concerned about things like porn. I'm even more concerned about some of the horrific violence, like executions and things like that, that can just pop up on your phone. I mean, there are some truly, truly horrible things that can appear. They're terrifying. So, you know, it's just what you need is to have an open dialogue with your child where absolutely, you know, you mention things as they ask about them and as they come up, rather than turning it into a big deal. If you turn porn into a big deal, you're more likely to close it down. I mean, there may well be some erotica or porn that might be, you know, that you wouldn't disapprove of and that you'd be perfectly, you know, you'd be comfortable with your child seeing. We're talking about stuff that is scary or violent or odd. Yeah, yeah, very
yeah.
Odd.
Yeah, that's a difficult thing though, isn't it? It's to be like, because it's still your kids, you'd be like, oh God. But then that's just this, I guess sometimes it's just life, isn't it? So you just got to be like, yeah, as long as it's not the scary
actually,
stuff.
Actually, sex scenes on TV are getting better since they've been intimacy coordinators. They're a bit more realistic as well.
Yeah.
Because that annoys me too. That annoys me just as much. And it's not offensive sex at all. There's nothing, you know, it's not porn. But it's not realistic quite a lot in films and on TV.
Yeah,
and that gives people completely the wrong impression. And you still get women coming and saying, I can't orgasm. And they can orgasm perfectly well. They just don't orgasm within 3 seconds during intercourse.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which is classic in film. Okay, well, lots to think about there. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Please do keep sending in your questions as we will get back to regular scheduled programming next week. So that Google form, again, is in the bio of this episode and our social media profiles. We're at the RSC Pod. Send it in there, send in your questions, and we'll see you next time for some more Real Sex Education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.